We have only a few minutes. We saw late Rosh Chodesh. I want to share with you a few thoughts, just a few thoughts from this book, this sefer called "The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways." Can I buy that, please? The Lord is righteous in all His ways. This is a reflections on the Tisha B'Av keynote by Rav Yosef B. Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Beryl Soloveitchik. What? Dove. You have a B here. Joseph B. Salvation. I'm just reading to you what I know. I'm just reading you what it says. They call him Yashaber, Joseph Dove. JB. No, that's not nice. To say JB is very. That's not a nice thing. Rakefe. Who does he go? He goes berserk. I once said to my father not long before he was nice. I read something from JB. My father said, "Wow, I haven't heard someone say that in 40 years. My father remembered it. He says, everyone used to call him JB, JB, JB. And then my father says, "Wow, you brought back memories. I haven't heard someone say that 40 years to say JB. Okay, that was his initials. And that's what people used to refer to him as. But right. That's not, but I didn't understand. I'm for my time. I don't appreciate this, but I heard Rakefet go on a tirade. Okay, Rabbi Aaron Rakefet, in his lectures, he holds himself to be the biggest Talmud of Rav Yashaber. And in one of his lectures, he goes on a tirade about people who call him JB. It is utterly disrespectful to call him by his initials. You call him Rav, or you call him Rav Soloveitchik. You don't call him by his initials. Okay, and he's right. He's absolutely right. No, it doesn't need me to tell him he's right. It's a Metzius now. So here, let me just tell you a little bit. The history of this book is as follows. Rav Yashaber Soloveitchik spent his summers in Boston. Okay, he was in Boston. He lived in Boston. He was always in Boston. He used to come in to give shiur, fly in to New York to give shiur.
He had
in
a driver.
What?
He had a driver.
No, a driver. He went by plane.
He had a driver. He at one point, but there was at one point in time that they were driving a limo. He had a
5 hours driver. Back and 4 hours.
Me,
yeah,
I was when I was away from Pesach one time in the hotel, and the guy came over to me to talk to me, and I said, "You look familiar." He said, "You went to NYU." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You probably saw me in the street all the time. I was Rabbi Soloveitchik's driver. I used to take him back and forth to Boston."
Okay. Wow. That was good. Very good. But he would spend summers in Boston, and he on Tisha B'Av he would darshan the entire day. He was the very, very, very first Tisha B'Av program that existed in America. Okay, there was no such thing as a Tisha B'Av program in those days. He's where it all started. Okay, so when people found out that he's darshans, and he was a darshan second to none, people started coming. In fact, people flew in from all over the country to be there, Tisha B'Av, to spend with him Tisha B'Av. It's very interesting that my nephews, now they went to a camp, a summer camp, in Onset.
Onset.
That's where he spent the summer, in Onset. So it's very bizarre to me that my nephews are now in a summer camp in Onset. What state is it? Massachusetts? Massachusetts? Okay. Okay, one of those. Okay, because I'm not familiar with Onset and Boynton and whatever. Onset. And they are actually learning in the shul where he darshaned on Tisha B'Av. I have myself on pictures because my sister sent me pictures of my nephews there in the shul learning and davening. The shul is still there, and there's a big red chair. And this is the place where all the action happened. This is the place. People came, and it became a big sensation. And it ended up doing this for over 20 years, maybe 25 years. And this was before people had tape recorders, so some years it was recorded, some years it wasn't recorded. It was recorded better, not better, and it seems he didn't even prepare. I heard the executive director of the OU, who Rabbi Weil, is that his name? Rabbi Weil. He's much younger. He's this is before his time, but he I heard him say that it was known that Rav Soloveitchik did not prepare one word for these shiurim. He just spoke off the top of his head the entire day. And his cousin, sometimes I go to a shul around the corner, there's a koilo that's headed by Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, who is Rav Yashaber's first cousin. And he said to me, that Tisha B'Av, my cousin, was Simchas Torah. It was Simchas Torah. He sat there the whole day darshaning, and his best stuff, some of his most creative and brilliant chidushim that he produced, that he gave out off the cuff, without even preparing, was set over on Tisha B'Av day in this gathering. Many years ago, a very long time ago, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, talking about initials, J.J. Schachter, the rabbi of the Jewish Center in Manhattan, he's no longer, he retired long ago, he's now a university professor. He's a university professor at Yeshiva University, which means you don't have to teach, you don't have to just do research. You just do research. No, J.J. Schachter is now a university professor at Yeshiva University, which means you do research and you don't have to give any classes. That's what it means. There are very, very few. There are very few, if any, university professors in general throughout the country. Whatever, they pay you a nice salary and you add prestige to the university by doing research and giving you lectures every so often. In fact, he gives
a couple of classes at Stern.
He does? Maybe voluntarily. He doesn't have any duty as far as he knows to do that, but in any event, he follows in the way of Rav Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, and he gives for the OU, for the YU. They also have a broadcast. They have a program which is broadcast online the entire day. It's him. He sits in Tinek, so he does exactly the same thing. He gives a shiur the whole day in the Ashmeres at Baker until late in the afternoon, and the whole thing is broadcast online. You can watch it. My father used to watch it. He used to really enjoy it. He really enjoyed it. And even maybe me, whatever. This, he follows the way of Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. Now, what he did many years ago, I'm not sure he ever was there. He ever himself went to see Rav Yoshe Ber actually give the shiurim, but he collected all of the cassettes, all of the tapes, whatever, maybe they were reels of these lectures, and he transcribed them, and he worked it over, and he organized them into this book called The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, Reflections on the Tisha B'Av keynote, and this is a masterpiece. And it was out of print for a while, they just recently reprinted. It's very expensive, this costs almost $40. Okay, it's a very expensive piece. And they reprinted, and what? No, independent. This is independent. This is Me'oitz Ketav. But Ketav is out of business. Ketav, I don't even know why they have Ketav. Ketav, as far as I know, is out of business. Maybe they're not. But anyway, then Ketav originally published it, and he wrote it, and it's a masterpiece. What they then did about 5-6 years ago is the Korain Publishing Company. They put out all these new Siddur, Machzorim, and a lot of things, so they produced a very beautiful keynote, a very beautiful Machzor for Tisha B'Av. And what they basically did is they had three main writers, they had a new translation of the keynote, and they have an expert who wrote introductions to each of the keynote, explaining the style, who wrote it, and the style. Every one of the keynotes we know is arranged in a very complex style, how it's arranged. So there's a specialist who went and explained the style and the author of each one of the keynotes. And then they had another writer who, to a very large degree, not totally, took everything in this book, and chopped it up, cut and paste, rewrote, and put it to correspond as commentary to each of the individual keynotes. Plus, they have more stuff they got from other lectures he gave throughout the year. And a lot of the keynotes that was published by the Korain was taken, the commentary was taken from this. But the truth is, I spent, I think, 2-3 weeks ago, I went through the whole thing. It took me a lot of time to go through the entire thing. And there's a lot of stuff here that's not in the book. There's a lot of chidushim here that they did not put in the Korain keynotes. There's a lot in the Korain keynotes that's not here, and there's a lot here that's not in the Korain. I like this. This is written much easier. It's a much easier reading. A lot of the stuff over here, it's easier to comprehend, and it's not written on the keynotes, it's written on topics. So the topics, they're not limited to fit it into a particular keynote. So I actually enjoyed this more than the Korain keynotes. The Korain keynotes I spent a lot of time on also, but this is, it's fantastic. So there's a lot of stuff here. I want to spend, it's already 12 o'clock. I'll tell you one or two things, then we'll do more. I'll just tell you one or two things very quick. He has a lot of Yesodos. And just, we'll do more this week, hopefully. But let me just tell you now some things which caught my attention. Number one, Tisha B'Av in the thought of Rav Yosher Bar Soloveitchik is a combination, is the synthesis between a day of Avelos and a Tainus. Think about it. During Avelos, when a person Rachmana L'Son is in Avelos, is he allowed to eat? Of course he's allowed to eat. There's no such thing as not eating. There's a given you can eat. Of course he can't bathe. He's not allowed to wash his body. He's not allowed to sicha. There are certain restrictions, but eating is permitted. So why then on Tisha B'Av can't we eat? What's the big deal? We could observe Avelos. How can we ever think of it like this? It's a day of Avelos. We'll sit on the ground like someone sitting, someone in Shiva. We won't clean ourselves. We won't smear oil. We won't take haircuts. But what? What? We'll learn Torah, but we will do the basic is eat. Why can't eating is not in conflict with Avelos? A very basic question. So the answer is obviously because it's not only a din of Avelos, it's a din of a tainis tzibur. Wait a minute, a tainis tzibur, you're in a lot of trouble because you're missing, how come we don't say slichos? We don't say you don't say a shachris. We don't lane vaychalat shachris. We don't say slichos. So what happened to all the tefillah that accompanies a yom tainis? So it's a very big problem. So one answer is we do that element of the tainis at the end of the day. We wait until that's why we fast, of course. But we wait the tefillah element of the tainis. We wait until after chatzos. So if after chatzos we shift from primarily in the state of Avelos, a Yom of Avelos, to a day of a Yom Tainus. But in the morning, it's also a time. But the question is still, why isn't there a Slichos? So he says over here, he says a very interesting idea, and that's because it's a Tainus, but it's a Tainus, it's still, I'll take it back. It just, the conflict of Avelos and Yom Tainus prevents us from the tefillah element of the day. In fact, what does it say in Tehillim? It does say in Eicha, Sosam tefilasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has silenced my prayer. Now here's a very beautiful idea. And he says the Chish L'Halach, and he himself acknowledges what he's saying is a very Chish. Let's just jump for a moment. The ultimate Yom Tainus is Yom Kippur. The other Taniyos that we observe during the year are watered down. They're only Minhagim. They're watered down, and that's why they're not fully observed. If we would fully observe a Tainus, we would have to start the Tainus at night. If we fully observe the Tainus, we were not allowed to bathe. We were not allowed to take haircuts. On a regular Tainus, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamos, you're allowed, there are no restrictions. You're allowed to bathe. You're allowed to do pretty much whatever you want to do. The only thing that we do not do is we do not eat. And the Tainus begins in the morning. It does not begin at night in the morning. And the rules are very, very, they're not, it's not so severe. There's rules, they're limited. There's a lot of leniencies. That's because all of the other fast days are not any really fast days because we don't really do them. We just observe them as a custom, more or less. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, that's the ultimate Tainus Sibur. Okay, that's the ultimate time of Sibur. V'inisimes nafsho seichen, that's the spitz. Tisha B'Av is an extension of that. It's also a day of Tainus Sibur. Now here's the point he makes. On a real Tainus Sibur, which has the full dosage of tefillah, there's a tefillah you add called Ne'ilah. And fresh the Gemara, all of the Gemara, Masechta Tainus, when they would fast days because it did not rain, They dive in the Hila on a regular Yom Tzom in the time of the Chazal when they had a Shavas, they had a real Asar B'Teves, a real Tzom Gedalia. You start at night and you do it like Yom Kippur and you dive in the Hila. That's part of the rules and regulations of a Yom Tainus. So here's this question: being that on Tisha B'Av, it's a real day of Tainus. And we start at night, where you have all the restrictions. What happened to Ne'ilah? And don't tell me, oh, because we don't daven. When we come to Mincha time, that's when we push aside the Avelos element of the day and we resume the Tainus element of the day and it becomes a young, full-fledged Yom Tefillah. The Haraya, we say Vaylein Vayechal. We go back, we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, we get back into the swing of the Yom Tainus. That demands of us, since we've been already fasting for the night before, we should also say Ni'ilah. It's a very, very, very tough question. So he says an incredible chiddush. And let's end the chiddush, let's go backwards. Let's say by mistake a person, Yom Kippur, he just fell asleep. You know, he ate the Sudam Afsekes, and then he was about to go to shul for Kol Nidre, and he dozed off. And before he turns around, it's already 6 o'clock in the morning. He fell asleep. He had a long, hard work week, and he missed Ma'ariv, the night of Yom Kippur. It could happen. He wasn't feeling well. Shachris. He davened Shachris. I don't feel well. He didn't daven Musaf. He didn't daven Mincha. And now he wakes up. Now it's too late to daven Musaf and Mincha. It's time for Ne'ilah. Can you daven Ne'ilah?
No, he said no.
So this is an incredible Chiddush. So L'Chayra, yeah. My Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Is it in Tmairin? Is it in Shachris? Musaf? Mincha? It is Ne'ilah. It's a din in the Tainis. It's another Tila. If you don't daven Ma'ariv, you can still daven Shachris. You do a Tashlumin. Let's say you're Poshea. If you're Poshea, you can't make up. You can't make up the Ma'ariv, but you can make up. But you can daven Shachris. You can daven Mincha. Poshea. I don't want to daven strike. I'm on strike. No Shachris today. Mincha you can daven. If you're not on strike, it was an accident, you could daven a double mincha. So Ne'ilah is the same thing. So his mechadish, this is his chiddush. And he says here, I'm not so sure this is lahalacha, that what I'm saying is correct, but he says, Ne'ilah is only if you daven all the other tzilas. Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha. You don't daven one of those four or three tzilas, you're not allowed. It's a bracha levatola. Bracha levatola. Musaf, maybe, I don't know that Musaf. It's a bracha levatola. And he says also Yal, and he says that's exactly, I don't really understand this, you have to see the Nusach of the Tila, Yale, the first period you say when you begin Ma'ariv is Yale Techinoseinu Me'erev. That is a Hakdama to Ne'ilah, he says. Yale is that now, Yale, that's we're right away from Ma'ariv, already preparing, we're packaging up Ne'ilah. We're adding this to the box. To the packaging box that we're going to send for Ne'ilah. You got to put the Shachris, the Mincha, the Ma'ariv, the Shachris, and the Mincha into the package. So when it comes to Ne'ilah, you have Ne'ilah, you can send off to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Memela. You know why we don't have Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? It's because we don't have a real Ma'ariv and a real Shachris. Since Sosam Tifilasi, Hashem doesn't want to hear from us, we just, it's lip service. We do it because we do it. But we don't say Tiskabel Tzeloysoin. We don't wear the talis and tefillin. The whole shachris and ma'ariv is a watered down shachris tefillin. It's not the real deal. The whole thing is a watered down. Memela, that is why you can't do ne'ilah. Even though now the zman of ne'ilah is ripe, it's now a full-fledged yom tainis, but the din of ne'ilah demands a ma'ariv and a shachris. And because the ma'ariv and the shachris were pushed aside, memela, that's why we don't have ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av. Answer the Gukash. This is one of his machshavs. We'll stop here.